everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. And we're real excited today to be talking about the penultimate episodes of season one of The Way Home. We're talking about episodes 8 and 9. And we're going to have a lot of fun talking about these big episodes. So come with us and write and send us your theories in the comments. We want to hear what you have to say. And I'm film critic Rachel Wagner. Casey's here.
Hello, friends. I am here.
Hi. How's it going?
Oh gosh, it is going well. It's crazy. It's busy.
But, yeah. It's a busy time this time of year. There's just so much going on. You got taxes, you got other stuff all kind of having to get done.
All the things, all the spring things.
Yes. Well, since this is the first time we've had you on for A Way Home, we still haven't figured out a name for the podcast. Some people are calling it Ponders, and I can't agree to that. But we'll come up with something. For now, it's just The Way Home podcast.
Okay. I will try to think of something for y'all. My noggin.
But what have you thought about the show? Have you been enjoying the show? What do you think?
Oh my gosh, Rachel. Rachel. Okay. You know my history with TV series in general. I tend to be more of a TV series type of person over a movies person, just in general. I think it's because I also love reading. And so as a child, I just loved those series, just extending the longevity of these characters and stuff. But I will be honest, when they announced new series, I was a little series burned out. So I was really skeptical, but then people started talking about it. And one night I was maybe I'll give it a try. I think they had the first 3 or 4 episodes out. And then I was hooked. I was oh my gosh, this is a time travel TV show, because time travel has my heart. And then the theories and the writing is really good. It's really quick and snappy. It really has people on the edge of your seat, and I can't figure it out. That's the thing. I cannot figure this out.
Yeah. We knew that Casey had started watching, because the next day on the group chat, she's oh my gosh, this show.
Yeah. I was what is happening? You guys didn't prepare me.
Yeah. I mean, I had a similar experience, because I tend to not be as much a series person, just because I just don't have time. And I find so many shows, it feels like they have 2 good seasons, maybe 4 for a really, really, really good show. And then so many of them end up being disappointing. And I am very curious to talk to Heather eventually, the showrunner, about this. I'm just dying to know how much they have planned. Where do they have an end game for this? Because they have told us, it's weird, because they've told us so much. They told us way more than I thought they would tell us. And so, I thought we'd go the whole season before Kat would realize that Alice was going in time, things like that I was oh my gosh, wow. They all are going through time, and there's all these different timelines and everything like that. So they've told us so much, but then there's still so many questions. It's almost like every reveal they have inspires a whole new line of questions,
right?
That you have. And so I'm dying to know how much they have planned, because I hope it's not Lost, where you could just tell that after season 3, they were just making it up on the fly.
Yeah. And these types of shows are hard, because you have the one basic timeline, and then you have all the time space continuums. So there are so many different timelines in play here that keeping them all straight, I feel like you'd need one of those Hallmark mystery
murder boards.
Yeah.
Well, she had one at a point. Kat had a murder board.
See that? Yes.
Yeah. So it's very interesting, and you have all the different characters. They're both their young versions and their old versions, and all interacting with each other. And it's kind of I think Doctor Who, in the sense that they really aren't paying that much attention to the ripple effects, because in Doctor Who, they go back in time and they change all these different things. And, they'll have Doctor Who with Charles Dickens, or Doctor Who with Rosa Parks, or whatever in the past. And those changes won't really have much of a ripple effect. And as I feel like that's kind of what we're getting here, but at first I thought there might be like a multiverse kind of situation going on. Like there was multiple things, because why wouldn't it make a difference if Jacob got home? Like, why? But it seems like there are like little effects and they do remember each other. So I don't know. It's there's a lot going on.
Yeah, there is. And I feel like, you watched Once Upon a Time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I almost thought, I had this thought of like, is it when you enter Port Haven, all of a sudden you've had these memories that you didn't remember you had, because the memories are in Port Haven, this like magical, mystical place, kind of like Storybook in Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
Like, leaving in Once Upon a Time, you forget about the mystical like world or whatever, but like, is it that? And then you're right.
Well, also, I kind of wonder if it's not just the pond, if water in this town for these people, this particular family, is like a port key. If Jacob jumped in to get his toy, the stuffed toy that they were fighting over, if he jumped in to get it, maybe he got a port key there and went away, because they never found his body.
Yeah, that's true.
And there was a little, somebody mentioned this last time in the comments. So there was, with Colton being in that dunk tank, remember that? Yeah. And there was like a few seconds where you see him kind of like getting that panic face, like that you get in the pond. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, is that what it is? Is like water a port key?
Oh yeah. And water is a running theme.
Mm-hmm.
See it a lot where you'll like the boat. Like these writers are smart. I mean, they didn't just toss in a boat to show off Del and Colton's love. I mean, the boat is
important,
you know, we just don't know how it plays in to all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to dive in. Let's talk about the first episode we're talking about, episode 8, Love Fool. It's when an old friend returns, Alice realizes her relationship has no future, and Kat is shocked by family secrets. Del tries to take a chance with Byron. So overall, what did you think of this episode?
Oh, Alice. Oh, dear Alice. I have a lot of emotions going here. And I think one thing I appreciate about this series in particular is that you have the cutesy layered, like the cutesy stuff, but then you also have the layered emotional feelings, whether it's emotional feelings between Kat and Elliot, and then light fluffy between Alice and young Kat, or just different things. Like, it's very layered, so nothing ever feels so heavy. The following episode's a little different, but this one in particular, I appreciate the way they tied up the whole Nick storyline. I was very nervous about that.
You think they completely tied it up with Nick?
I mean, I think,
because at the end he says that he lied about not remembering her.
Yeah, I mean, I think. See, this is something I've.
You never forget your first love, is what he says.
Yeah, but he's also 40.
But that's why I think. There's like, I don't know what else they can do with him, but I feel like there's something else that's going to happen. You never forget your first love.
Yeah. I mean, that could come into play in future seasons. Like, maybe Alice needs to be rescued in the past or something. I will say, when they introduced the whole Nick thing, I was like, oh, okay, you know, that's cute. 1999, whatever, you know, it's just a fling. And then they just started getting like super into each other. And I was like, oh no, girl, you are 16, ma'am. He is not 16 anymore. And I think for her, she said, she was mourning the relationship that she could never have. So it wasn't really about old Nick. It really was about her and her relationship that she couldn't have, and that first love, because, you know, that teenage puppy love romance and stuff. And so I appreciated that they didn't make it creepy. That's what I was afraid of with the whole Nick thing. I thought it was going to be like, oh my gosh, you're Alice? wait, you've been 16 for the last 20 years? Like, what? But I thought they did it well, because I'm not going to lie, I kept cringing. Like, I was like, oh, this is so...
Yeah, I mean, especially for us Heartland fans, they kept kind of teasing this, and we knew that Kerry James was on Heartland, that he was going to be Grown Up Nick, and we're just like waiting and waiting and waiting. So it was fun. And then when he doesn't recognize her, and you're like, and it just made you feel like, what are they going to do with this? What is the point of this relationship? Because obviously he can't be with her, as you said, a 40-year-old with a 16-year-old. That doesn't make any sense and would not be a happy ending. It would be very weird. So there has to be something that he's going to contribute to this whole thing. There has to be, I don't know. Like, what is he, what is it? I don't know what it is. That's what makes this show so interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I almost think that it's maybe more of a Alice, like her personal growth and the pushing her towards her mom, because, you know, they were young Kat and Alice were besties. And so of course they have like their crushes and stuff. So then the double dates and blah, blah, blah. And I think it was, I don't know. I almost think it was kind of a way Nick was kind of used to push Alice closer to her mom, because she had a reason to keep going back. And I think that, well, yes, she did become very close with young Kat. I think also like Nick was a motivating factor to keep jumping back into the pond, because like, why not? You have this, you know, alternate life in an alternate universe with a super cute boy who's a super into you. And she didn't really have friends in Port Haven. I mean, like the other two are trying really hard, bless them. But Alice is just, you know, she's a teenager. She's an angsty teenager. And I kind of wonder if that was the purpose of having Nick in this relationship, is just to kind of push her towards her mom.
We'd like to take a second from this episode of the podcast to celebrate our sponsor of this episode. And that is the Hallmarkies Patreon.
Do you love Hallmarkies podcast?
Do you want an inside scoop into what happens on the podcast?
Do you want early access to episodes and loads of cool perks?
Now is the time to become a patron of Hallmarkies Podcast.
By becoming a patron, you get to access our patron Facebook group.
You can request episodes or even be a guest on the podcast.
And most importantly, any patron can join our monthly movie watch-alongs with stars like Paul Campbell, Natalie Hall, and more.
It's as low as $2 a month to join in and become a special part of the Hallmarkies family.
Please consider, and we will love you forever.
Go to patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
That's patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
That's a good point. Because she even, the one time she goes back for her mom. She knows that teen mom would be struggling. Mm-hmm. And so she goes back for her mom, not even to see Nick or for any other reason. So She's definitely at that point, and this is such a unique way of showing it. But I think most of us have that moment in life where you realize your parents are like people, you know, that like screw up and have, you know, try their best. I think that we all have that moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that this was a very real way for her to do that. I mean, the theme of this, this episode is all about Alanis Morissette, which I was surprised they didn't have it called, instead of Love Fool, they didn't have it called Ironic or something like that, like one of her Jagged Little Pill or something like that.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
But she's singing to Alanis Morissette, "Nothing beats Alanis when you're hurting."
Oh yeah. That was also funny. Just Kat is in an interesting position because she is mom, but then she's a best friend.
Yeah.
That she's like best friend from when she was 15. So that's a really interesting relationship. But just the way that Kat was coming at old Nick, just making some of those snarky comments, like it just made me giggle a bit. She did a great job.
Yeah. And then in the karaoke, she rocked it.
Yeah.
Then we have some division between Dell and Colton. in this episode. He says, unlike you, I'm not ready to bury him. And then she says, we both know you'd rather be anywhere but here. So, and the whole time Kat's watching this, because she's also not she the mother and friend, she's also the daughter, kind of in a new way. And so she's seen her parents. She thought they had this ideal relationship, and the town is gossiping about them. And we find out, I think in the next episode, kind of where he's going for help. But yeah, what'd you think about Del and Colton?
Oh man, that's tough. That is really tough, because tragedy, like, that can make you or break you. And with tragedy also comes very hard times in relationships, especially when you have very opposite types of personalities. You're going through these different stages of grief. You know, I'm sure that each blame themselves, really, because, you know, they're the parents. I mean, I can only imagine being a parent myself, you know. And I think strife, you know, that is something that happens in a relationship. I think that losing a child has amplified that. And so, I think that there is, it's interesting, because you can see that there is fault on both sides. Like, Del is not as gracious, very assuming, whereas Colton is not communicating. And so, you have all these things in play.
And they're both coming from this very wounded place. I mean, this has just happened, that they've lost their son, and that would be immeasurable. I mean, how do you even deal with something like that? Especially, I think it would be really hard to keep that hope alive, but then also continue on with daily life and be raising your daughter and stuff like that. Like, that would be, I don't know if it would be harder, but it seems like, in a way, it would be harder, because you wouldn't have that closure and just be able to kind of, okay, we got to pick up the pieces and move on. You'd still be in that sort of middle space.
Yeah.
I think would be very difficult.
Yeah. And I think it's hard when everybody else around you moves on and you still
have that too.
No closure, because they have not found a body. They have not, he disappeared without a trace. And so I think people process those things in so many different ways. Like, Del seems to be very much like, okay, yesterday was yesterday. We're moving forward. We're not looking back. It doesn't matter. Like, we're doing this. Whereas, you know, Colton and Kat and even Alice are very much like, wait, we got to dig back into the past. We have to dig into the past to fix the future. And so also another interesting, you know, just difference between these characters.
And they haven't told us, but do you think that Del knows about the pond?
I think Del knows about the pond.
Mm.
I think she does, because you also said something earlier that kind of like jogged my memory, is when she says, we all know you'd rather be any place but here. So it's like, well, where would he be?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's that note in the jacket for the, like, basically kind of a brothel place where he meets up with the private investigator. And so, and then she says, it's what men spend money that's not on their wives. She'd said that. So she definitely knows that she thinks he's having an affair, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But does she know about the pond? It's so hard to tell.
I know. She says different things. Like, I went back and watched episode 1 and 2, but just the mention of the pond, like, oh, there's a pond back there. And the dog keeps just as obsessed with that pond. And, you know, she just makes really interesting remarks. And even into the next episode, she says very sly, like very, it was almost super sly, but also very, almost like a hint. The pond freezes over.
So it's right.
Like, why would you, like, okay, yeah, of course the pond's going to freeze over. Why mention it unless you're trying to say something, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, also, nobody's ever surprised when any of these girls come up sobbing wet. Like,
yeah, and that would be like the worst to be. I feel bad for these actors, because being wet in like jeans and stuff is the worst.
Yes.
It's so heavy. And so, That would be hard. We should have asked Sadie more about that. We had her on. But yeah, I mean, Colton tells Dally, says, "I love you, Delilah. I love you so much." And that's when Kat is super excited. And she's like, there was no other woman. He spent all the money on the private investigator. So she's seeing more hope now at this point.
Yeah.
And it makes me, I mean, it's got to be that Jacob is somewhere in time. It's got to be. Like, why would there be no, there would be like nothing for the investigator, nothing for that. Like nothing this close, you'd at least have something, some kind of leads or something, if there was, if it was not an otherworldly thing.
Yeah. He is somewhere. He's somewhere in time. You're right. Yeah. He's stuck somewhere. My gosh.
I mean, and I'm so bad. I'm like looking on line stuff to see if there's any like casting or anything, like is anything that we see adult Jacob anywhere? No, I haven't found anything.
Yes. I mean, I do have more thoughts on that too. I mean, again, I went back and watched the first couple, and there are some things that Kat or Jacob, they say, I think it was one of them said, a hero always leaves their mark.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that the JK sign that Jacob had been doodling, because he was like, yeah, you and me, Kat, we're gonna be like besties, you know. So I'm like, okay, is that a clue? And then we see it carved in the little high like hangout where Elliot is always like young Elliot always was. We see that, and so I'm like, okay, I feel like that's gotta be a clue at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also the fact that they talk about something about the stars leading lost heroes home. And so I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's going to be put into play too. Oh, but we
also have Team Kat, like kind of flirty texting with her pager with Brady. And the fandom seems to be pretty down on Brady, and he definitely shouldn't have cheated on her, of course, but I don't think he's that bad. I mean, I don't know. I definitely like him better than our good friend, Anne. Anne does not like him at all.
Yeah.
I feel like he's trying to kind of fix things and make things better. But yeah, a lot of people don't like Brady.
Yeah, I mean, I can't blame him, but he's a flawed character. But here's the thing, guys, you can't have an interesting show without flawed, if they're all perfect. Right. I mean, this is what makes him so interesting, and I think it makes him very complex. I mean, he's a highfalutin guy. He's also, you know, like a person of color, and so like the pressure. I mean, like I want to say, like Southeast Asian, maybe or something
like that. Yeah.
I mean, like that puts a lot of pressures on a lot of people. Like, trust me, I would know. But I think that because he's not exactly everybody's favorite, I mean, that also makes us like Elliot more.
Yeah. Well, it creates a pretty interesting little dynamic, because you have her have this like this history and a child with Brady, but then you have this sort of also this history with Elliot. And he's the only, since Elliot's the only one that knows about the pond, that's a connection that they have that I think adds to their chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Elliot, so at first he's like, I want to wait to kiss you until it's the right moment or whatever. And he says, for all these years, Nick says, after all these years, you're in love with Kat, you're still in love with Kat Landry. And then we find out that Nick is engaged. And then Kat says to Elliot, what would you just kiss me already? And he says, why risk our friendship for something that is going to end badly?
Mm-hmm.
Not every love story has a happy ending.
Yeah. So,
it's the classic friends. Yes. Yeah. It's a friends to lovers dynamic where it's like, oh, we don't want to ruin what we have. But I think that most of the time, I feel like it would be awkward for a time, but if you're really that good of friends, I think you'd find a way to make it, to save a friendship, you know, because that's always the biggest worry of friends to lovers is, oh no, we're gonna ruin what we have.
Yeah. But man, that ending.
Yes. So then she comes out of the pond super excited, like we talked about, where she says, there was no other woman. He spent all his money on the private investigator. She's so excited. She knows that there's the binder in the boat. And then she kisses Elliot and she says, I don't care about perfect. I just don't want to miss our moment. That's pretty good.
Okay. Let me tell you about this kiss. Oh my word, you guys, this was a kiss.
Yeah.
This was not a Hallmark like kind of kiss. This was a kiss. And let me tell you, I was like wide-eyed, like shooketh, because it was so good, but also not Hallmark.
Yeah, it put all the other Hallmark shows on notice that like
100%. Yeah. Also, okay, I'm gonna say it, but y'all postables don't come after me, but that kiss kind of rivaled some of those Shane and Oliver kisses. Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Don't take my postables card away, guys. But I think it's the cinematography of it.
Yeah, it almost reminded me of in 2005 Pride and Prejudice, you know, when they're out there and there's the sun behind them and it's like, oh
yes. Yes.
You have bewitched me body and soul.
Yeah. Well, that's probably what they were thinking.
Yeah,
I think so. But man, it was a perfect, like it was just a perfect shot.
Yeah.
Perfect shot for these.
Yeah, they did a really good job with like the moving camera and everything, getting all the angles. And then when he's like, that felt pretty perfect to me. It was good. Yeah, it was really good. And then we find this is when we get the little line from Nick saying, I lied about not remembering Alice. And so Alice knows that he didn't forget her. Mm-hmm. And you never forget your first love. We also have Byron we find out that his wife died in Afghanistan. I guess they were both reporters.
Yeah.
Something like that. And so he was injured, she died, so that's been hard for him, and so he wants to kiss Del. That's kind of an awkward moment, and she is still struggling, and he says, you have no room for me. If it's the right person, you don't have to try so hard. Mm-hmm. Which is probably true.
Yeah The Del and Byron relationship is interesting. Now that's the one I kind of have questions on. I'm like, what is the purpose of this relationship? Because we have so many different relationships going here that you have to be careful that you're not under investing in one. And I feel like that's the one relationship that's a little like, you know, everything has a purpose. So what is this purpose? Is it to open up, like, open Del up and kind of like expand her from her very like future focus, like, or present focus is really what she is. Present focused mindset, you know, it was this purpose to kind of just like kind of break her out of her comfort zone a little bit.
Because she's somebody who just barely had the memorial service for Jacob. And so, I mean, she's been in grieving, pretty hardcore grieving for 20 years.
Yeah.
For both Colton and Jacob. And so she's just barely starting to kind of get into that healing phase.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
So, I don't think that we're going, I think we're definitely going to eventually see Jacob again, but I don't think we're going to see Colton again. We'll talk about it in the next episode, but I think he legitimately dies.
Mm-hmm.
Cause at first I thought, is that what they're kind of leading up to, that she's finally going to kind of forgive him. And then all of a sudden he's going to appear in one of the timelines or whatever, but I don't think that's going to happen. We'll see, I guess. But yeah. I feel like Del is the one that we know the least about of all the characters.
Yes.
So kind of an enigma.
Yes. 100% she is. Enigma.
All right. So what would you give this episode 1 to 10?
Oh, I would say, Rachel? Like, you can ask me that question. I guess I, you know, for that kiss, I'll give it a 10. I will give it a 10 for that kiss.
Yeah, I was going to go 9.5, but it this was a really, really good episode of the show. So we'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. A brighter future awaits if she can escape the shadows of the past. In After the Shadows by Amanda Cabot, the first book in the Secrets of Sweetwater Crossing series, a young widow returns to her hometown in Texas Hill Country, never dreaming that the new school teacher holds the key both to the mystery surrounding her father's death and to her heart. Library Journal says her sensitivity and realistic portrayal of characters often on the margins of history really shine in this new historical series. Check out After the Shadows today at bakerbookhouse.com and get 30% off and free U.S. shipping. That's 30% off and free U.S. shipping at bakerbookhouse.com, or you can use our affiliate link in the description. So then we have episode 9, The Day the Music Died. And it's Alice says goodbye to the past, knowing she needs to make a life in the present. Kat tries to stop her father's death. Del revisits memories in a new light. So what did you think of this episode as far as being the penultimate episode of the season?
Yeah. This, I knew it was coming. I just had a feeling. I feel like there's so many little things that led up to the ending happening. I just had this feeling, but I just didn't know how it would all come about. I wasn't sure, was like Kat gonna be in the car, or like in the truck with him, because we did see that in a preview. Like, was she a distraction? Did she come out of nowhere? Was it even, you know, for a moment there I thought it was maybe Alice that had popped up, you know, causing that.
Well, I mean, Alice was there.
Yeah. She was there. Yeah. This one was heavy, and you can tell just by the cinematography was very gray. Mm-hmm. I think it's really an interesting choice that we're now into the winter months. So like mm-hmm. winter months bring, it brings in that, just that eerie feeling, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think they really set the mood for the episode. How it was executed, I think, was well done. But as far as everything else, I was like, oh gosh, my heart can't take it.
Yeah. I'm really curious to see what they do with this, because if they have to like deal with this, that if we'll talk about the ending, but if they are part, at least even part of the cause of Colton's death, like how would you even like begin to sort of deal with that? Like, how would you, like, I don't know, like, that's just a lot of trauma, a lot of wounds.
Yeah. And I think that's the interesting thing about time travel stuff, is that there was an original situation that happened that they were not a part of because they didn't remember it. And then now they have basically two different memories of what happened. So it's like, do they fall back on what they knew to be true prior to Kat jumping into the pond, you know, to stop her dad from getting into mm-hmm. the accident, to see what happened? And I feel like that could be almost a bit of a comfort knowing, but then at the same time, like Elliot said, like what is going to happen is going to happen. It's just wrong place, wrong time. So you have like, so many alternate timelines at play.
Well, and you got to think, like, what is the universe trying to do? Because the universe, because they don't choose when and where to go back. Mm-hmm. It's the pond that chooses chooses where they want them to go. So for some reason, the universe wanted them to have this experience. So it's like, what, why would they need to be sort of the semi-cause or even the cause, depending on how you look at it, of Colton's death? Like, that's just messed up.
Yeah. I mean, and then the other thing too, is it's like, is it to bring Kat and Alice even closer together? But then I would fear the blame game of Mom, you shouldn't have been there, but then you shouldn't have been in the street, Alice. And then, you know.
And if they don't take that seriously, then I'll be annoyed, because that would be a very traumatic thing to like be responsible for your father's death, or to feel like you were responsible for your father's death. I think that would be really hard. And so, yeah, I don't know. I'm very curious. It's like so much to tackle in a season finale. Like, I don't know.
Again, I really think though, they have two memories because they were not originally responsible for his death. Mm-hmm. Because they don't have any recollection because they hadn't jumped into the pond.
Yeah.
Like, okay. In this now changed timeline, because we jumped into the pond, so we are the cause because we were put in the papers about two women running into the woods, but then also knowing like that wasn't originally what happened because they weren't there the first time because Kat was 17, 18 at college or something like that.
Right.
So it's just.
So at the beginning of the episode, Kat says, I'm going to a spa weekend. And it turns out she's actually going to spend the weekend with Elliot.
Also her weekend. Okay. Yeah.
Now, I mean, she wasn't really there that much, so she was, I think, using that as an excuse to then go to the pond a lot. But nevertheless, it was still kind of surprising in a Hallmark show.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had some pretty cozy moments there in that at Elliot's.
They sure did. They really had.
They really did.
Adult Elliot's living his best life. He's like, yeah. I've been waiting for this moment for 20 years.
And Evan Williams is very dreamy. He's great.
Oh, he's so Elliot. Cute.
Yeah. And we just, for this week, we did another one of those classic Christmas recaps. For our Wednesday episode, and we talked about the National Tree, which stars Evan Williams. So if y'all want to hear more thoughts on Evan Williams, you should check that out. He plays like a teenage blogger, and the thing screams like so 2000, I think it was 2007, like cool hip, like trying to be popular with this tree. But yeah, you should check that out. But he's a really, I think, fun actor.
Yeah.
And then we have let's see. So Kat hides in her dad's truck.
Hi everybody, I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And to see where he's going, he you know, if it's the other woman or what. And it turns out that it's a group therapy session. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so she's really relieved that there isn't another woman, and that Colton says, I don't know how to be a husband or a dad. There's this emotional support group. What did you think about that with the emotional support group?
You know, I didn't expect that.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it's 1999, 2000. Well, it's 2000 at this point, early 2000s. Was not expecting it because that wasn't really something that we talked about back then, like mental health, therapy, grief. It was really like you kept it to yourself, especially if that, you know, the previous generations from us, like our parents' generations, like people were expected to be strong, especially as a man, like you were expected to be like, you know, I've got it all together, I'm fine. But having him play and show grief from a dad father, husband's point of view, a man's point of view, I think was a really, it was a really good story to tell. Because again, you know, Hallmark, it tends to be very female point of view centric. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so seeing it from a male's point of view, I think was really important. Just in the storytelling, I think that it is something that we need to show. And I think it's something that we need to talk about. And like, you know, men need support too, you know, because I feel like there is a stigma, especially around men and grief. It's like, you can't show your emotions, where no, that's not true. Like, we were created for emotions. Like, if we, you know, have emotions, like, you know, what's the point?
Well, especially with something so, so terrible as like losing a child. I mean, if you have to keep that all inside, that would be rough.
Right. Yeah.
But I remember my grandma, when she was a teenager, she had a traumatic event happen with her mother. And then they just like never talked about it ever. And it wasn't until she was in her 80s that finally it all kind of all that and many other, you know, other things that had caused trauma finally bubbled up. She finally had to deal with it in her 80s. It, and I just think like, it doesn't just go away. Like, you have to deal with it.
Yeah. You're gonna carry it, you know? And I think too, Colton was feeling so alone. Because you know, we see that he and Del's relationship is very rocky and very understandable too. Like, I'm not, you know, trying mm-hmm. to say anything against Del, but, you know, Del comes across as a very strong personality woman. Mm-hmm. And so when she's also in her feelings and trying to deal with her grief, and then, you know, she also is fearful of losing her husband to, you know, anything. And I think that's why she was like, so sure that he was having an affair, because I mean, you know, it does weird.
That's things, the right? One thing that it's like, why couldn't he have told her that he was doing this? You know, like, maybe he could have even invited her. I guess they're just in such a different spot, but it's not like there's anything to be ashamed about.
Yeah.
It seems like not telling her is causing more problems than if he just told her.
Yeah. No, I agree, but I also think it's 2000.
Yeah.
You know, right. I
way back. Way back in
way back, way back.
But I liked the actor Jefferson Brown. He said on Twitter, he said, so many fathers and sons suffer in silence, chained to prehistoric notions of strength. I want to thank you, our writers and storytellers, and especially Hallmark Channel, for presenting a character who shows the struggle and pain and knows he needs help. Talk to your loved ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's very true. And it never hurts just to check in with people, especially when they're going through trauma. Yeah. They're like, yeah. How are you doing? And so I thought that, you know, that was good. It was interesting. And it was neat to see Kat see this whole other side to her parents and to particularly her father was neat to see. And I thought Kyler did a good job in those scenes.
Yeah. And I kind of think that the purpose there is just to give Kat that closure, because, you know, if you remember to the original timeline or whatever, she was, you know, feeling distant from her parents, like she was invisible. They, you know, after Jacob disappeared, everything changed. Like, and so I think that her being there just kind of gave her that closure, knowing like, yeah, her dad really did love her, like that confirmation that her dad loved her. He was just really struggling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is when we get Del saying the pond is always the first place to tell me when spring is coming, and the pond usually freezes over completely. So that's where you think, oh, does she know about the pond?
Mm-hmm.
She know there's something special about the pond. I don't know. It's hard to, it's really hard to know. And hopefully we'll get a clue about that next episode.
Oh my gosh, we better get a clue next up.
And so then you have this really nice scene between Alice and Colton where she asks him to teach her how to play a song on mm-hmm. the guitar. So that's really nice. And then also Alice has a moment with Del mm-hmm. and Alice says to Colton, I'm glad you're still here. Mm-hmm. We also get Elliot remembering graduation, Elliot is frustrated because Kat is going to Minnesota with Brady. And so that makes him insecure as like adult Elliot is insecure because it's like, oh, she's going to leave again.
Yeah.
Going on. So a lot of stuff. And we have Byron leaving, going to Marrakesh. And Del says, let's focus on who we are now. Then we hear Kat saying the pond wouldn't let Kat go. Mm-hmm. And so then Kat says to Elliot, I trust you. And he says, I should have kept holding your hand and never let go. So lots of drama going on here.
Yes, lots of drama. Mm-hmm. And even drama with a little drama with Kat and Elliot there too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he doesn't quite trust her. He's nervous. He definitely feels like that he's not worthy, I think, of her is how he feels. Because he's built it up all these years, this relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a legitimate fear there, because it was like all of a sudden Kat gets the second chance to watch her life, or, you know, at least hear a little bit about it, or, you know, just reliving some of those memories. And it's like, is she holding on to the past? And is that forcing her to go, oh, Elliot? Or is it really truly in her feelings that she's falling in love with Elliot? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, we all know, she is truly feeling that way. But when you're on the receiving end of it, and you've had this, like, this love that you haven't been able to get, you know, this unrequited love, it's like, yeah, you're gonna be insecure, you're gonna question, and like, you're gonna go like, are you just using me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you just using those memories to?
Yeah, well, I think he really worries too that he's kind of the rebound guy, both with Brady, and he's obviously very insecure about Brady, mm-hmm. but then also the rebound guy with this whole, it's almost like he's the rebound guy twice with adult Brady and teen Brady. You know, it's like they're experiencing that whole thing all over again. So that would be challenging. Who would want to go back to your high school years? Not me. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I loved high school. Would I want to relive it? Not all parts.
I didn't like hate high school, but I really hated the lack of freedom. I felt like I was ready for the freedom, and I probably honestly would have done a pretty good job. I think I actually feel like I was kind of, I don't know, 15 going on 40. I was pretty mature. I probably would have done fine, but I really hated having to ask permission to do everything and just not being able to be my own person. So if I were to go back, I would definitely pick college over high school, because that was like one of the happiest times of my life is college. The friends, classes, just the freedom was really great. I loved that.
Yeah. Can't say my experience is the opposite. If I were,
oh, really?
Oh yeah. If I had to, if I were forced to go back, jump into a pond, it can take me somewhere. It needs to take me to era 2007, 2008, my senior year of high school, literally the best time ever.
Mm.
I hated college. Hated everything.
My senior year of high school, I was actually in college because my family moved when I was 17. And so I just decided, instead of starting a whole new school for 1 year, I just decided just to start going to college. My whole family actually kind of almost all of us graduated early in one way or another for some reason. But I went to community college that senior year in California because I didn't want to start a whole new high school.
That's fair.
It's an interesting time, because in one way you have so much like done for you that you have to do when you're older, you know, like I think about that and I'm like, it really wasn't that bad. I had all my meals made for me. I had all my, I got driven around wherever I wanted to go, basically.
Yeah.
wasn't that bad, but it feels so limiting. It's like when you're living it, at least for me, it was like, I just hated being told what to do. And I wanted to make my own choices. And I think a lot of teens kind of feel that way. But my parents were pretty lucky because none of us were like really rebelled.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. So they were pretty lucky, but
we'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Are you looking for that perfect gift for the postable, hardy, or Hallmarkie in your life?
What about getting that t-shirt or hoodie that will help you stand out at your next holiday party?
Now is the time to check out the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Full of festive designs by artists like Jessica Miller, Carrie from Hallmark Comics, and more.
You can even have more than just shirts, but totes, cell phone cases, notebooks, mugs, and more.
And it isn't just Hallmark. We have designs for Anne of Green Gables, Man from Snowy River, The Nanny, and more.
Every purchase at the merch store goes to help support the podcast and allows us to make the great content you know and love.
There are frequent sales, so go to tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies or see the link in the description.
That's tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies.
And so Kat ends up going to the support group. This is the second time. And he says, I just wish I could wake up beside my wife again. It's just not working. I know how abandoned and blamed Alice feels for what happened. And, or Kat, not Alice. Right. I think I wrote that down wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, that Kat, I know how abandoned and blamed Kat feels for what happened with Jacob. And they talk in the car. Is this maybe talking to them is the way back home, which was like title of this series drop. And then he says, if I could just get 5 more minutes with Jacob, I would tell him everything.
Yeah.
I love that. There's a song, if I could go to heaven for a day, something like that. And the whole idea is like, if you could just stop by and see all the people that have just for a day, what you would say and what you would do. And I think that that's definitely a beautiful thought.
Yeah.
You know, what would you say? What would you do? I mean, that's the whole thing in our town.
Mm-hmm.
Basically she gets to pick one memory. So she picks something that she thinks is like the most innocuous thing that like, that won't be like super traumatic. She picks this birthday, 12-year-old birthday. And she goes back and she sees it and she realizes how many missed opportunities that were in this seemingly ordinary day, to express love and care for the people in her life. And I think there's something like really moving about that idea of like, because you don't realize it's the last 5 minutes. What would you say? What would you do? Do we take for granted?
Yeah.
What we have. So I thought that was really good. And then she tells him, I lost my dad in an accident. And there was a lot of talk in both these episodes about future versus the past. Our future is stronger than our past. It's our legacy, all of that going on.
Yeah. Like,
these people talk about past a lot.
Yes. They are living in the past.
Yeah. And so then Colton's driving back and then they have this whole scene between Alice and Kat, that he says, I need you here now in the present. Alice says, I need you to be home with me now here. But it's hard for Kat because she thinks, oh, I can save my dad. Like, how could you not want to do that?
Yeah, especially knowing you have a chance, so why not take it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, if the pawn / the universe allows. But that's a hard one, because I mean, in some ways I understand Kat's brain here. Like, I'm an oldest child, I'm a like, let's go, let's do this thing. Like, I'm sure I would do the same, you know, if it were me. Even if my child was begging me, like, no, it's like, wait, you don't understand. Like, I have one more chance. I missed out 20 years. Like, if I could, why not? And so in some ways I understand, Kat's, her, like the controversy within herself, the conflict there. But then at the same time, you know, as we know, as the viewer, because, you know, we've seen a lot of time travel shows, like, sometimes what is meant to happen is going to happen. It's just going to land somebody in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of in Harry Potter, there's, I forget what it's called, but there's that mirror that people can look into.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And see their greatest desire. And for Harry, it's to see his parents. That's his greatest desire. And then Dumbledore says, you know, people have wasted away in front of it. And that, I think that there's some truth in that, that like seeing your, like your, in your parents, if especially if you were an orphan, like how intoxicating that would be. Like, it'd be so hard to say no.
Yeah.
It'd be so hard. It reminds me, there was a Lifetime movie a couple of years ago. I forget what it was called, but it was with Toni Braxton. It was kind of a take on Christmas Carol, but what they did is they had, instead of her being like a Scrooge, she was a Scrooge, but it was all based in trauma because her parents had died in this like horrible car accident. And she had never like been able to heal and get over it, or not you get over it, but you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. And anyway, and so instead of having the ghosts, they had her parents come for every single one of the ghosts. And what I thought was really effective is that every time that they leave and then come back again, she's just devastated. Like, she can't, like, if you think about it, it would never grow old. If you saw your parents who died in a horrible, like, you would never just be like, oh, they're back.
right.
You know, it would be this traumatic. And they did I thought a really good job with that in that movie. And it's kind of that here, I think, for Kat. Like, she just can't give up that, knowing that you could maybe save or help or just see your dad again. Like, oh, it would be so hard to not do it, I think. And so she goes, and they're driving, and but before that, there's this whole scene with Del and Colton dancing. And he says, I know, I want to win you back, win it all back. You're my home.
Yeah, that was okay. There were lots of comments and socials, because the transition in the scene was like almost so slight, because it's like, it could go a couple different ways, right? Because like, we're in present day, Kat turns on the music, she leaves Del is in, you know, her, she's got the gray hair, and then Colton walks in the door and he's like, almost like he looks the same like he did 20 years ago. So it's like, did Colton like future jump into the pond and like jump into this like moment? Like, I don't know. I think it's like a little bit of a stretch, but you know, like there was like that thought, like, oh, I mean, the pond apparently does anything. So like, if it can go back, maybe it can go into the future. But then also too, I think what it really was is just Del, you know, thinking back to that time. But it was just an interesting thought, like, oh, huh. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it makes me think that she must not, at least in the past, I don't think she knows about the pond, because I feel like she would have done more to like stop this, or would it be more aware? You maybe get some hints that maybe she knows about it in the future, but I don't think she knows about it in the past.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody knows about it in the past.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was a really sweet scene. And I think that Jefferson and Andy have a nice chemistry together, the actors. Yeah.
Really do. They really do. They need to use Jefferson more too, by the way.
Yeah, he was Ben on Good Witch, and he was dating Stephanie, and they ended it on this, like, they ended the season on this like really romantic note where they renovated this theater and they were like in love and everything, and I loved Ben and Stephanie, and then he wasn't back for the next season. I was devastated.
Oh, he's gone.
Oh. But anyway. And so then he leaves. And I do feel like, I wonder if he would leave then. Like, if he's just had that, why wouldn't he stay and be with her? He wants to be, I know that going to the support group is important, but I feel like you could miss one session. But he, that's the choice he makes. And then Alice says that I miss my mom now. And then he says, it's no use going back to yesterday because I was a different person then. That's what Kat says. And so Kat goes to the pond and Alice follows. So they're trying to stop the crash from happening, but they cause the crash to happen. They're in the middle of the road. He swerves. And because Kat is trying to push Alice out of the way. And then at the end, Kat is holding him and he says, my kiddo, Catherine. Mm-hmm. And that's the end. It's like, oh my gosh, does he know? What did you, how did you take it? I'm saying this.
This is hard. Cause it's like, was he just hallucinating? Because obviously older Catherine bears a resemblance to young Catherine. I mean, you know, so was he hallucinating because he was in the, on that, like that verge of dying? Does he know about the pond? Like, does he have this inkling that, or does he just have this knowledge that Catherine is who she is? I need answers, my friends. I need answers. Yeah.
Because it might be part of the, like, a part of being a Landry is that you can go, like, maybe it's passed down. Maybe everybody knows. It's like, maybe it's like About Time that way. And the movie About Time, where all the men in the family in that movie can go back in time once they reach a certain age, and they kind of pass it on to the next generation. And so maybe it's like that. Maybe they all kind of know, the Landrys know that this is a thing. And maybe that's why they keep the almanac. Maybe that's why, you know, they're keeping track of all this. I don't know.
Yeah.
That would be crazy. I don't know. They have like gotten my curiosity for this finale so much.
Oh, 100%. You know it's going to end on another cliffhanger because
yes,
push for another season.
Because we still haven't gotten 1814. That was the first scene in the whole show.
Yes.
What is happening?
So many questions. But can I just say too, that last scene with the accident, as devastating as it was to watch as a viewer, the acting was on point. I mean, the grief, I'm glad they kind of blocked out the screaming, to be honest with you. I'm glad we just saw it. We like, that's all we really needed was to see the emotions happen.
Yeah, I agree.
And Alice, I thought it was beautifully shot. I thought the acting was really well done. Even the personal characteristics between young Kat and old Kat, with like the panic attacks, anxiety attacks, that just like was very seamless through, you know, like you could see Kat starting to have a panic attack because she caused this accident, and you know, they're going to jump back into the future and then it's going to be like in the papers. And we see that with Elliot, like Elliot's reviewing the papers, and a thing that wasn't there before was the fact that two women were seen running into the woods. And so I just thought all of these little pieces and like these characters and the acting itself is absolutely superb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's gonna be really interesting, and I just hope they don't disappoint us. I mean, I'm not really anticipating anything in particular, so it's not like if one thing in particular doesn't happen, I want to get some answers, and I know they will leave us on a cliffhanger, but I just want it to feel satisfying.
Yeah, no, I understand, because I came into this unsure of how I was feeling, and it just has gone up from here. So it's like, oh gosh, at what point are they going to disappoint me?
Yeah. Well, what would you give this episode 1 to 10?
I probably give it closer to like a 9, just because it was so heavy.
Yeah.
But you know, like I said, the acting really elevated it. I think they did a good job with the heavy topics. And just like sharing the, that grief, session with Colton, all of that. So Yeah, that's what I would probably give it.
Well, very good. Let us know in the comments what you think. We got some comments last time, which are so much fun. And so if you comment this time, we'll read them next time, which was only going to be a 1 week recap, because we'll recap next week the finale, and then also just our overall feelings about the first season. But the comments last time, we have Life According to Theo says, dog can time travel also. It's mentioned that Jacob has a dog he's always going to see. Then during the first episode farm tour, Del tells Alice that her dog can't stay away from the pond. The dog comes running past soaked. It's presumably the same dog. Maybe Jacob follows someone or the dog into the pond. Could be. Then we have Kazuto Akayasu says, happy to hear it got picked up for another season. I've watched enough sci-fi that tries to techno-babble their way through temporal paradoxes that I don't try to reason through that. But it's definitely possible whatever happened to Jacob was after Kat got him home. Not sure what end, but focusing on Colton a bit could get interesting, and there's still plenty to explore with Brady. Mm-hmm. Then Regina Ross says, I think Elliot has tried time traveling through the pond in an early episode. Maybe in the first one, he tells Alice that only her family seems to be able to time travel. I thought maybe he said only the women in your family, but I'm not sure if Jacob has time traveled. So maybe he just said your family. That leads me to believe that he gave it a try and nothing happened. So there we go. That is some of the comments. Great comments. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about these two episodes, because there was a lot going on.
Yeah. So much going on.
So Casey, where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Casey_Simpson.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. Also make sure you're following the podcast on Homeworkies Pod and Homeworkies Podcast, all of our social media. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews on iTunes. That really helps us so much. And if you are watching on YouTube, please give the video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. Appreciate that so much. We also have our Patreon group, which is the best way that you can support us. And we really, really appreciate it. Got lots of fun perks. Please check that out. And also we have the merch store, which is a lot of fun as well. So please take a look at that. And thanks so much. We'll talk to you all later. Bye.
Bye.